You're watching KCMI-TV.
Well, let's get into the Word of the Lord. This podcast really came about something the Lord began to talk to me. My wife and I were in Florence, Italy several weeks ago. And in Florence, Italy, one of the most famous, exquisite statues that is in the world is there, and it's called the Statue of David. And when you see it, it's just, it really describes description. 17 feet tall, weighs, I think they said, like 8.5 tons, which would be about 17,000 pounds. And took Michelangelo several years to create this statue, and it's in such detail, and it's just perfection. And when he started, they just gave him a huge piece of marble, just a nothing definitive, nothing. And when Michael looked at that, in his mind, he could see what he wanted, but from what he could see in his imagination to the reality of what it became, there was a process in between, and I want to talk to you about that process. This is out of the book of Jeremiah, a very familiar portion of scripture. We've heard it preached on, we've quoted it, and we lay hold on to it as believers. And this is what the Lord was saying in this verse. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Let me stop there for a moment. I love that. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know what that means? God's thinking about you. You are on his mind. There's no such thing as out of mind, out of sight, or out of sight, out of mind. God is constantly thinking of you as an individual. The 8 billion people on the earth, you are on the mind of God. And he said, when I think about you, says the Lord, the thoughts that I have of you are thoughts of peace, and they're not of evil. And he said, because I'm going to give you an expected end. In other words, the Lord said, when I look at you, my thoughts to you about you, they're just good. I take no pleasure in your pain. And I think a lot of times believers get deceived into thinking, well, God somehow must take joy in my problems and my tribulations. That's not what the Lord said. He said, I think of you, my thoughts are at peace. He said, but I see an expected end for you. And so there is this process that God takes us through. And I think the reason the Lord gave us this verse was that when you and I would go through difficult times, we would not think that we're going through this because God is angry with us or God is upset with us. You know, the devil will, boy, he'll try to really get a hold of your mentality and make you feel like that, well, I'm going through this time in my life that is very painful, very difficult, and sometimes it's very hard to marry the reality of where you are in your life, the circumstances, the difficulties that you're in, with the word of the Lord that has been given to us in the Bible. And we read scriptures, you know, no evil shall overcome you, and I'm the God that healeth thee, and I take pleasure in the prosperity of my servants, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We read these scriptures and, you know, ask anything in my name, believing when you pray and you shall have those things, and I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, and that there's a fence of protection around us, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. And it just, these verses go on and on. And yet the reality is many times we look at the lives that we're living, we think, God, I don't know how to make the two fit. They almost seem to be an oxymoron. They're contradicting each other. And so, first of all, the word never, ever contradicts itself. But why would God take us through, allow us to go through the difficulties that we go through when we love him? Because the Lord said, I have an expected end for you. And there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. I think we just maybe go there. Says this, for whom the Lord loveth. That's the first part you got to get a hold of. Not for those that God is at odds with, or those that are wayward, or those that are disobedient, those whom God loves. If we were writing this verse, then the next part would be, he opens the windows of heaven and pours out on you blessings that there's not room enough to contain. That's not what this verse says. Those whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth and he scourgeth every son that he receives. And so when I was there looking at the statue, I thought, man, what kind of time must have been spent on creating this, from a block of stone to this detailed, beautiful statue. And I realized, and I did some study on it, and he did it with a chisel. And what he did was he began to hit. And, you know, I think it's in Jeremiah, it says, the Lord says, my word is like a hammer. And I believe this, I know this from experience, that every one of us have a purpose and every one of us have a call. But and it happened for me. God called me to preach before my maturity and my character were on the same level as the call. And the process between being called and being used was painful, because God will allow you to go through those difficult times. And I think this is true. I think that the chisel that God uses to knock off the areas of us that don't fit into his purpose, I think the chisel that God uses are the difficult times, the circumstances that are painful and that we don't understand. You know, I look back in my infancy stages of ministry, and I'm really embarrassed at a lot of the things that I said, that I believed. I was raised in pretty dogmatic Pentecostal lines, and there wasn't a lot of mercy in there. And I remember having a conversation. I was probably 22 years old, evangelizing, and I was talking to an older minister, and we were discussing, you know, people going to heaven. And I said, well, I'll just tell you right now, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, you're going to hell. And he tried to reason with me, but I had the fire and the zeal, but I did not have the wisdom. And I believe in baptism, and I believe in speaking in tongues. But there's a lot of people that go to heaven before they ever got baptized. And I don't believe that you have to speak in tongues in order to be a child of God. I believe that there's an additional gift that God gives you to have power over the enemy. But God takes us through painful times. He allows painful circumstances. He allows us to suffer because it's in the suffering that in the spirit, God is chiseling away those things that will keep us from becoming what God sees us when he talks about an expected end. And in prayer the other day, this kind of came up in my spirit. And when we think of Adam there in the Garden of Eden, you know, he was made in the image and in the likeness of Christ. And when God blew into him the breath of life, he had the nature of God in him. He looked like God. He had the nature of God. He walked with God. And yet he had a massive failure. And the scripture says, by one man's sin, many became sinners. He literally polluted the bloodline of humanity and changed the destiny of humanity. And you wonder, how did this happen when he had the nature of God? And the Bible in the New Testament talks about that Jesus is not the second Adam, because if he was the second one, it means there could have been a third. It calls him the last Adam, and that's really important. It calls Jesus the last Adam. But there is a scripture that says this about Jesus. It's in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You say, well, you know, I don't understand that because he was God. He was God in flesh, but deity was laid aside and he became a man. And the Bible says that Jesus, and first of all, we know this, he never failed. Jesus never failed. But he was a man of sorrows. Isaiah says he was acquainted with grief. Could it be that the first Adam failed because he never suffered? The potential was there. The desires of God for him were there. But Adam failed because sometimes it is the sufferings that we go through that created in us who God wants us to be. First 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about that our image, that when people see us, not just our physical, but our nature, our character, our actions, they're changed by the Spirit of the Lord. This is in Romans chapter 5, and I thought it was a great scripture to read to help talk about what we're going through. God takes people through great suffering. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And I think, and I have seen many, many people and the 50-some years of preaching, and I'm in my 70s now, so I've seen a lot. And I've seen a lot of people that had great ability and great talent shipwreck because it came so quick and so easy that they never went through the fires of adversity that creates the character in them. This is in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read first 5 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, my thoughts towards you are peace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 says this, through much tribulation do you and I enter into the kingdom of God. He said, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations are going to work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The last thing he talks about here is hope, but he said what creates hope is experience. And the word experience here in the original language means a tried character that's developed through testing. And when you, there's different scriptures that infer that character in a Christian is developed. One of the words that it uses and infers is chiseling. And the greater the call of God on your life, the greater suffering that you're going to have to go through. Because entering into the call of God without character always ends in shipwreck. And God will take you through this process, and he will, you say, I don't understand why I'm going through this. It's probably because in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is chiseling away, and you don't realize it, and you're going through these difficult times, but you don't realize it in the Spirit. There's this image that's being formed. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus is the rock. And Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. And the scripture also says that we are lively stones, and that Jesus Christ was the first fruit of many brethren. And so the chiseling away that Christ went through created who he became. He became the captain of our salvation. If Jesus had to go through suffering in order to learn obedience, then we're not going to be exempt from that. And I don't know, I know we don't hear this talked about, you know, that so much in the church today is about prosperity and God wants you to be happy. And it's not about God wants you to be happy. God wants you to accomplish his purpose. And you and I are on this earth for one thing, to advance the kingdom of the Lord. And I think that when we get saved, God looks at us and he has an expected end. He has an image in his mind, a picture in his mind of who we can become. And then we go through these processes. And we will go through times of suffering, and then God will allow us to go through seasons of blessing, because you can't live in suffering your whole life and survive. So God knows he'll put no greater burden on us than we can bear. But with every temptation, there's a way of escape. There's lots of verses in the scriptures that talk about these things. Psalms 34 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I really believe this, that people who are called of God, you're just going to have to understand that God is chiseling away. You say, man, you know, I'm a tither and I'm struggling financially, or I'm having a fractured relationship, or I'm dealing with a physical pain in my body and I'm believing that God would heal me and he has not. And the disappointments of life, or the delay of God using you in your ministry. The Bible says there are many, many are chosen, but few are called, or many are called, but few are chosen. And I think that the ones that God chooses are the ones that have allowed the chisel in God's hand to knock off the areas in their life until they become in the image of Christ. I would not be who I am. I know this. I would not have the anointing of my life for the ministry that I have without the difficulties that I've had to go through. And many of you are the same way. And you go back to the Bible and you look at these men who shaped the church. They didn't have an easy life. 11 of the 12 disciples died a martyr's death. Stephen was stoned. And the list just goes on and on. James was beheaded. John the Baptist was beheaded. The Old Testament, many of the prophets were slain. But they became the people that God wanted them to become, because God uses our difficulties and the sufferings in order to make us become who he wants us to become. And this is why a lot of times you don't see real, real young people that have great maturity, because maturity doesn't come out of a book. It comes out of experience. And our gifts can come when we're young. Our talent can come when we're young. But the character comes out of fire. Character, listen, personality is what you are in front of people. Character is who you are when nobody sees you. And God takes us through these seasons. And I believe the church right now has been going through a difficult time. And I think that what's going to happen is God is beginning to, he's getting ready to unveil those that he has taken through difficulty. So I want to encourage you. Don't be discouraged and think, well, God's forgot about me, or God must be mad at me. No, he's not. He said, my thoughts towards you are peace. But if I love you, I'm going to chisel away until you become the man or the woman of God that I know that you can be. So stay in the hand of the Lord. Let God do what he wants to do, and declare that there is an expected end for me. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
For more information about Kent Christmas Ministries International or Regeneration Nashville, go to kentchristmas.org or regenerationnashville.org. And for the latest updates or videos, follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube. God bless you.